All right, Francine
Many.
alcoholic. Honestly, I'm amazed at this meeting. It was so energetic. I feel like I need a nap now. You guys were amazing. Francine alcoholic. My sobriety date, by the way, is July 26, 1979. And yes, you heard it right. I'm probably older than most. I'm sober probably longer than most of the people in this room today, which makes me feel a tad bit old. But yeah, I have not had a drink, nor have I gotten high in 46 years, and I'm 73 years old. And I gotta tell you, both of those numbers just makes me want to fall out of the chair because I got sober when I was 26, and God knows I never, ever in my wildest imaginings thought I'd still be here. Never thought I would. I'm a low bottom drunk. Oh, first, let me say welcome to all of you that are new. You know, normally I like to say welcome to every individual newcomer, but there were way too many of you. So I'll just say welcome to all of you that are new to Alcoholics Anonymous. And you know, most people will tell you to keep coming back. And I understand why. I absolutely understand why we say that, because we want you to know if by chance you go out, and the bigger if is if you make it back, that the rooms are always open. We never close shop. We never say, no, you can't come back in here, regardless of how many times you've gone out. But I'm going to say to you, stay. Come and stay with us. Why? Because the truth is, you can go in and out and maybe make it back, but the magic only happens when we stay here long enough to go through really wonderful experiences and go through probably the worst day of your life and know that no matter what, you do not have to pick up. That's the gift and that's the promise that we make to you. If you stay here long enough for the fog to lift and do the hard work, your life will change in a way you cannot even imagine. And I can tell you, I know that firsthand. Well, I am a drug addicted, alcoholic prostitute off the streets of New York. That is where I've come from. You know, and I'm going to read something to you because even with less than 20 minutes now, I'm going to read something because this speaks to my life more than I could verbally. This is a document I found when we were sheltered in place at the beginning of the pandemic. And probably, like some of you, I was cleaning closets, cleaning the trunk of my car that I couldn't use. You know, I was cleaning out things and I came across this document that was issued to me on June 25th, 1979. I was young when I got this, I was only 19 years old, and it was issued to me from the criminal court of the city of New York. There are a ton of charges, but I'm just going to read a few. Criminal trespass, possession of burglar tools, criminal mischief, petty larceny, criminal tampering, solicitation, and prostitution. And there are many more here. I never, ever, ever want to forget that this was my life. I never want to forget. And I must tell you, for someone like me, living the life I get to live today, it would be really easy for me to forget where I've come from. But you see, today I don't look the same. I don't carry myself the same as a woman. I don't dress the same. I don't sound the same. The language I use is different. My profession is different, although there are more than a handful of people who think that there's this really thin line between a hooker and a lawyer, but I understand that there's a difference. I understand that there's no way I would have come from that person who used to pay lawyers to keep her out of jail to somebody who's now practicing law for 35 years. I mean, can you even believe it? Because I can't. That is because of the grace of God and Alcoholics Anonymous, but I have to tell you, not even just that. It's because of the work I've been willing to do. Because lots of people have stories like mine. Lots of people have come from the lowest of the lowest place. And not everybody gets to stay here and do some of the things I've been willing to do. I've become willing to do some things that, well, not everybody's willing to do. And with that, I get to enjoy a life, not always fun, I can tell you right now, not always fun, not always easy, but a life that's filled with, well, it's filled with things I never thought I'd even want, like love, like respect, like a home that I own rather than living on the streets, which is where I used to be living. At 18, I was homeless on the streets of New York. And today I get to have my own house. I get to have family that likes me and that's willing to talk to me. Go figure. And I have family I'm willing to talk to and that I like. And it's all because of AA. So with about 14 minutes, I want to share with you some of the things that I have been willing to do. And, to me, it's really important. Yeah, I want you to know where I've come from, but I also want you to know what I do to stay here. Because again, for me, the operative word is stay. It's stay. So I'm a visual person. And so I created a what I call my patched quilt. And each one of these patch pieces signifies a tool in AA that I use, not only to, that helped me get sober, but really helped me stay sober at 46 years sober. And I do all of the same things I did when I was new. Why? Call me anal if you will, but it's enabled me to have a life far beyond anything I could have imagined. And trust me, there are people who call me anal, but that's okay. You know what? I'm laughing all the way to the other side of my house. So they can call me whatever they want. So on these patch pieces, if you've been sober more than a minute, you already know what these things are. Maybe you do them, maybe you don't. But I'm going to just share some of them quickly. The one that's most important, and it's the one that I always talk about first. The others don't have to necessarily be in order, although the second one I like to talk about second. But the first one to me is critical. Because it's the one that really gets to determine whether I stay here. And that is abstinence. Now, some of you might be thinking, oh, Francine, that's so silly. Of course, you're abstinent. You don't drink. You said you don't use. Okay, well, you know what I discovered? And maybe some of you that are sober a while have discovered it too. Not everybody defines things in the same way. Hello, some people say they're sober, but they smoke a little pot. Here in California, pot's legal. Well, so is booze, but I don't do that either. I know people who say they're sober and they drink non-alcoholic drinks. Maybe some of you are in that category. Well, I remember when I was new, near beer was very popular. Now they have all kinds of non-alcoholic drinks. I don't know if it was because the word beer was in near beer. Maybe that's what triggered my thinking. But I remember going to my sponsor, Louise, saying, Louise, is this something okay for me to drink? And she said, if it looks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, if it smells and tastes like a duck, girl, you might just want to assume it's a duck. Also, she said to me, and I tell you, when I became a lawyer, she said, I'm not shocked. She said, you know what? You need to go do some research since your brain is always working. Go do some research and find out about that near beer. And I did. And you know what? I discovered something that some of you probably know. Non-alcoholic drinks have alcohol in them. Duh. All you have to do is look at the label. It says either 0.01, 0.05, 0.0 something. But if it has something, some alcohol in it, it's alcohol. So for this alcoholic, I stay clear. I don't drink. I don't use drugs. I don't get too close to the edge. And as a result, I am clean and sober. And I get to live a life that's far beyond anything I could have imagined. The second patch I would like to talk about, because it's the one that really has helped me with all the others, and that's sponsorship. I am a big believer in sponsorship. You don't have to believe in it. You don't have to sponsor. You don't have to be a sponsor. Bill W. tells us that in terms of sponsoring, there are lots of ways we can be of service. So you don't have to sponsor. I happen to enjoy, and I'm old school. I sponsor women, and I only have had a female sponsor. But having a female sponsor has been especially important for me because I got sober hating men, and I hated women. That doesn't leave a whole lot of people in between. I just wasn't liking anybody. But especially women, because who are they to tell me what to do? I mean, I was sitting back taking the inventory of the prettier girls, the healthier girls in the room. That's why I needed a woman sponsor. You see, coming from that sordid place I came from, I knew how to ring men around my finger. Yeah, I'm old now, it wouldn't work. But back in the day when I was young and cute, yep, I could get a guy to do anything. So if I had had a male sponsor, God help him and me, I'd probably be drunk. So I had a female sponsor, and thank God, because she is the first person who ever had the courage to call me on my bad behavior. And no wonder I didn't like her, because she didn't hesitate to say things to me that today I've had sponsees fire me for even less. Like she said to me, I needed to get rid of that nasty little habit of sleeping with other people's husbands. Why? That had nothing to do with my alcoholism, so I thought, but she thought it did because she was someone who believed that behavior mattered. I could quote from the books all I wanted, but if my behavior didn't match what I was talking about, I needed to step it up. And so sleeping with other people's husbands, dressing like a hooker, even when I wasn't a hooker anymore, I'd go to AA in my favorite uniform. It used to be my AA uniform, hot pants the size of a sash, about 6 inches. And I can tell you, 6 inches doesn't cover much of anybody's little body. I would wear see-through blouses. That was part of my uniform, and no bra. Believe me, I wouldn't dare go out looking like I used to look. But today I'd go into an AA. Oh, and I used to wear super high heels. I still wear very high heels, but I used to wear high heels with those big fat taps, the kind you could hear them coming. I remember once I came into an AA meeting late, and God, I can tell you that was the last time I was late for no good reason. My sponsor happened to have been in the room. Instead of sitting in the back quietly like one would do if you're late, I wanted everybody to see me. I walked across the front of the room with my everything hanging out. I was a vision for you. And by the end of the meeting, there was this long line of men waiting to shake my hand. And then there was that one woman who even wanted to look at me. And I remember saying to my sponsor, I said, Louise, these girls are just jealous. She said, honey, they're not jealous. They are repelled by you. Ha. Stuck my head in the air and sauntered off. But you know what? She was right. How I dress, being with married men. And for me, I'm just saying, I had a filthy mouth when I got here. One day at a time, I choose not to curse. It's just me. Other people can do what they want. Except my sponsees can't do it in my presence, because I don't necessarily want to hear it from them. But I choose not to curse, because my sponsor used to say to me, you know, Francine, there are over 300,000 words in the English language, and you only seem to know five. So she went on this crusade to wash my mouth out. It worked for me today. Again, if I still looked and behaved the way I did when I crawled into Alcoholics Anonymous 46 years ago, you should question what steps I'm working. Today, you don't know where I've come from until I tell you. That is the beauty of Alcoholics Anonymous. Some of the other patch pieces, and I see I've got about 6 minutes left. I'll just say some of them, meetings. I'm a believer that meeting makers make it. It is not the only thing, otherwise I wouldn't have all of these patch pieces. But if I'm not in a meeting, I can't hear what happens to people who come to meetings and what happens to people who don't. So I need to be here. And I will tell you, this is already the third meeting I've gone to. This is the only one where I've spoken at. The other two, one's my home group, and another one is a regular meeting I go to at 6 a.m. California time. Talk about a willingness to go to any length. That's me. That's why I have the recovery I have, a willingness to go to any length. What other patch pieces I have are literature. I'm a big literature baby. You know, I got sober with AA literature, and not just the big book. If you're into just the big book, it's okay. But I got sober with Language of the Heart, As Bill Sees It, The Grapevine, Living Sober, the 12 and 12, which is how I've done my 12 steps. I mean, so much. AA Comes of Age, our first history book. AA literature, I'm grateful that I had a sponsor who introduced me to it. One of the other patch pieces is service. I'm a big service baby. I think my sponsor knew how self-centered and selfish and self-absorbed I was when she met me, and I will tell you, I am not much different today. She got me into service early because the more service I did, the more I got out of my selfish self. I mean, it was all about me, and if you could do something for me, then that was a good thing. But otherwise, I mean, because I'm a transactional kind of girl. Again, I'm an ex-hooker, so everything's transactional. But coming into AA, learning how to be of service just for the sake of giving, you taught me how to do that. And I'm still super active in service because my tendency is to still think about me. There are lots of different areas that we can find ourselves doing in service. Some people sponsor, some people are active in their home groups. Here, there are lots of people of service. My favorite areas are general service and sponsorship. That's what works for me. I love general service. I'm currently the GSR, General Service Representative, for my home group. And in my district, I'm the GSR school chair. I like being of service. And that really has been something that has helped me. And I work my days around giving back on some level. A couple of other patch pieces, gratitude is one of them. I'm an ingrate. By nature, I go to the dark side. You show me that cup with some liquid in it, I swear to God, I'm always going to go to the negative. That's my initial way of thinking. But because of you, I now try to see the glass is half full rather than half empty. One of my mentors, I went to Georgetown Law School, and my home group used to be a group that used to meet in the United States Capitol called Yays and Nays. I doubt if it's still there. But one of my mentors was a man named Hal Marley. And Hal used to say, Francine, you will never see a grateful alcoholic drunk. And of course, because my favorite words were, yes, but. I remember saying, but Hal, yes, but. All these people who say they're grateful and they go out. He said, no, Francine, you will never see a truly grateful alcoholic drunk, because if somebody's really grateful, they're not going to re-gift this most precious gift we've been given. And do you know what? I have found that to be true. There are days when I feel crappy. There are days when I just, you know what? It's a bad day. It's just a bad day, pure and simple. There have been bad months, there have been bad years, but at all times, I have not picked up. I haven't always been grateful fully, but I have had physical recovery for 46 years. That I can say. That I'm so grateful for. Thank you. 2 minutes, yeah. Gratitude is one of my, and I think the last two I want to just quickly touch on. God is the first. I didn't believe in God when I got here. I knew about God because I was born in the South. I was born in Atlanta. And I was born during a time when Black men were being lynched openly in the 1950s. So it was hard for me to wrap my arms around the fact that you're telling me I should believe in a God that allows this to happen. But you know what? When I got here, my sponsor helped me understand that God gives each one of us free will. And today I know that there was a God I didn't believe in that got me to AA. And it was AA that got me to God, that got me to that God that I so believe in today, the God that you find in the 11th step, in the 12 and 12. It says, I would no more do without faith than I would air, food, or sunshine. And how true that has been for me, and how grateful I am that I do believe, because I've gone through many things. And my last piece for a minute is a willingness to be uncomfortable. A willingness to be uncomfortable. I will tell you, people go out over many things, broken nails, lots of things I've heard. I've been very uncomfortable. I lost my husband of almost 24 years right before the pandemic. Right before that, I put my favorite cat to sleep. Right after it, the pandemic hit. Then my mom died of COVID. Then I put another cat to sleep. All within 7 months, back to back, I had a million reasons to drink. I had one good reason to stay sober. It was that faith, that undying faith that I believe in today, that enabled me to do the right thing in order to stay here. Thank you. Goodbye.